All right, let's move on. There is a couple of questions, but I think it will actually tie into some of the things that you're going to talk about soon around the advice paperwork, Peter. So we'll leave it to that point. But let's talk about the golden rules. So if we can sum up where we were pre-July 2016 to where we're sitting right now, what are the golden rules?
So probably what we've done here is we've talked about moving from advice without a license to moving to advice with a license. And we've got that squiggly line because there was a little bit of a change after 1 July. The thing I really want to stress to the non-licensed accountants, this is the only time in the world, and Brenton, you're a coach of accountants, you're the one that's going to want to punch me for this, but I'm actually telling them to be reactive, not proactive.
Right.
Sounds stupid, doesn't it? I don't want you to sit down with a client and suggest to the client that they read the ATO documentation on SMSFs. If the client doesn't ask you about an SMSF, if you become proactive and say, hey, have you ever thought about an SMSF? Read this. To me, that is giving them an inkling that you are suggesting they should invest in an SMSF. If they ask you, you can give factual information. But if they don't ask you, then it's very risky to actually go to them. Could you imagine if they got a call from the tax office next week? Why did you set up an SMSF? Well, I was talking to my accountant the other day and he was reviewing my stuff and he said that I should read this document about SMSF. So that is definitely then giving advice to establish an SMSF. So that's why I'm saying be reactive, not proactive, and document the fact that you've only given them tax advice. Use your disclaimers. The CA, CPA, they all give their disclaimers. If you don't have the document, you've got my email, I can send you the document that's got the disclaimers from CA and CPA in the back to say that we are not giving you financial product advice. But they have been distributed by CA and CPA.
Great, because I think there's a bit of a call to action there as well around coming up with a toolkit, if you like, of some of the things that the accountants listening can use with their clients based on the different conversations that they're having, just to have that more certainty around signing off on the conversation that was had.
Yeah, so and the documentation, we're going to move forward with that today anyway. Doing it at alternatives, and although that's a bit more technical, you can't just say to someone you should invest in an SMSF. You need to tell them what the alternatives are. With our advisors, we say, well, you know, you've got to offer alternatives, but normally we're saying you want to borrow, you want to invest in direct property, you want to buy a business premises. There is no alternative, and that's what we say when we consider the alternatives. There is none. So everything else is not a problem. It doesn't matter if it's more expensive. You don't have to worry about that too much. We'll talk about FSGs, SOAs and ROAs a bit later on.
That'll be great. So I do have quite a few questions flowing through, Peter, but I'm thinking in order to keep the flow going with your current discussion, we might have a bulk Q&A session at the end. All right, so let's talk around the training that accountants are getting in order to either secure their licenses or maintain their licenses going forward, because I think there's a lot of disgruntlement with some of the training options out there, considering that, and, you know, we've got accountants that have been in the profession X decades of years and they're being asked to do silly things. So Where do we sit in this?
And Seth, it looks like 70% of the people in the audience either don't want a license or already have a license. I'd assume they're already trained, but we've got 23% left. And, you know, it's you need to be trained to the point that your licensee will give you a proper authority. That's all you really need. And it ranges from the course that we use. I use Kaplan's Accountants SMSF package, which is a single subject. It's $495. You need to be a CA or CPA in order to do this course. They fully exempt you from the RG146. You only need to do the specialised training, which is SMSFs and superannuation. You do one assignment, which is an SOA. That's a big assignment, up to 40 hours work, and an online exam, which most of you would pass right now if you did it without any study, because we do accept that most of you do know your SMSFs. That course only allows you to do SMSF and superannuation. You can't talk about securities, can't talk about managed funds, can't talk about life insurance. If you want to go further, then you need to go and do the full diploma of financial planning. CPA offer a full course. I actually did a training for that, and it will give you a lot of training in those other areas. you're looking at a lot more money. You're looking at about $6,000 to do the full course. You could go right through and do a master's in financial planning through UNSW, $4,000 a subject, 12 subjects. Fantastic qualification, but probably not needed if you're only looking at doing SMSF stuff. So again, I don't think there's too many people in here that are worried about the training. So offline or at the end, we can probably run through the specifics for each person.
Sure. Perfect. So let's roll straight into then around the cost of advice. So how are you costing the advice now that we've got more involved with putting it together?
This one's the silver bullet, and I don't have the answer to the silver bullet, and I've spoken to a lot of accountants, and it's really something between you. Some of the licensees are saying, look, you need to develop a new business, but I'm finding most accountants are saying, no, I don't want to develop a new business. I see this as just an added burden. So what we're really doing there, what most of my advisors I'm seeing are doing, is they're communicating to their clients about the new rules. And we've given them a communications kit, our advisors, and that explains to the clients that there's new rules for superannuation advice. I've got to do SOAs, I've got to do training, I've got to pay for a license and all this. So the fee of having an SMSF is going to go up.
Sure.
Now, the annual cost, as you will see when we talk about SOAs and records of advice, is not that much more. Most people won't have too much more. So if you were to actually say, well, it's an extra $250, $300 a year, I think you would actually cover your own costs. The cost of establishing an SOA is going to be more because you now need establishing an SMSF, because you're going to need to do this SOA. And what we're seeing there is a lot of people are saying $1,650 for the advice and $1,650 to establish the fund. So, you know, $3,300 to set up an SMSF, and that just includes the SOA. And where our people are saying, regardless whether you want advice or not, it's $3,300 to set up an SMSF, and they just divide it into the two and they force them to do an SOA, because people will say to you they don't want to spend the money with an SOA and then spend the next hour asking advice. So you've got to be really careful, because the minute they ask a question, who should be my trustee? I can't give you that advice because you've told me you don't want advice.
Right.
So, yeah, again, I've got one advisor that's got clients on $1,650 a year as an accounting firm, paying $1,650 on top of their $1,650 for the financial planning advice, which I think is great that she's managed to do that. And she's not in the eastern suburbs of Sydney either. She's actually in the Blue Mountains. So it can be done. Maybe come to our conference next year and have a chat to her. There's no silver bullet, unfortunately, to that one, mate. Yeah.
No, that's completely understandable. And I think it comes back to the value articulation piece with the client. I mean, you definitely need to be looking at the value that you're providing with the advice that you're giving going forward, because there's obviously, there is and always has been advice in this piece. But now, because of the extra elements involved in producing the work, I think the time has come to actually price that value and make sure you're getting a return on it. So let's talk a little bit about, again, coming back to that process and what's involved. And I mean, this is all going to contribute to the costing of the advice, the paperwork that's involved with the ongoing servicing of the license.
Yeah. So this is probably more applicable to those with their own license, those on in the audience that have their own license and wondering what should we do. You need to have a financial services guide. Now, if you need assistance with any of this, come to me offline, because we do have this service to self-licensed accountants. You must give a financial services guide to any client before you give them any advice. Now, this, because ASIC's more concerned with process than outcomes, so if you don't give an FSG and give the best advice, you fail. You've just given negligent advice, you failed. If you give an FSG and give crap advice, they're going to give you a tick. It's terrible, but that's the way it is. All product advice must be in writing in the form of a statement of advice. So each client must get a statement of advice. But once you've done a statement of advice, if you're giving further advice that relates to that statement of advice, then you can do it in what's called a record of advice. Now, that can be a simple email entitled record of advice that says, last year we set up an SMSF, we did an SOA, and we said you contribute each year. We've spoken to you about your contributions this year. We recommend you put $30,000 in. So this year you don't need an SOA to that client. This year you can actually do an ROA. So the extra cost of servicing that SMSF client this year is virtually zero. Instead of telling them in a phone call that it's $30,000, you just confirm it in an email and call it a record of advice. So that really does help, that it's not as onerous as we expect, provided your initial statement of advice covers the future and it doesn't just say you should set up an SMSF and you leave it there. You need to cover future contributions, and you should, even if they're close enough to pension age, you should talk about starting a pension at age 65 or whatever. Now, a fee disclosure statement, not many of you will need these, but our lady that's doing $16.50 a year, she needs to do a fee disclosure statement that tells the client what they're charging. This doesn't have to cover your accounting fees. It's only your financial planning fees. Sure. And I'd imagine most of you will not be doing a great deal of financial planning advice on an ongoing basis. So I actually, myself personally, when I give advice, I never have an ongoing fee. I say to the client, next time you need to talk to me, come and talk to me and I'll charge you. Separating your files, remember that. Hopefully you've got a different entity, because if you use your accounting entity for your financial planning, you have probably lost your limited liability. Your accounting clients probably have access to the Financial Ombudsman Service, so you better hope they don't make a complaint about you, because they can go to the Financial Ombudsman Service, because your entity is now a member of the Financial Ombudsman Service. You don't limit it. That's the entity that joins. So again, I think I've mentioned, mate, before that our license has a full day introduction to licensed accountants and non-licensed accountants, where we cover all this stuff over a full day. First Sure. half of the day was the first five, was the stuff about crossing the line. The second half is actually the process of giving you advice. So there's a lot of people here with their own license. They might consider doing that course.
Yeah, well, I'd love to get into a little bit more as to where people can go to get some more help. Yeah. I've just got a couple of more questions, if you don't mind, sure. Because when talking to the greater profession, there were two questions that still stood out that I'd like to touch on before we go to the audience. And they were around the whole piece on, and this sort of speaks to probably 20-25% of the audience, is what if I'm still doing my training but I need to do it in an SOA now? So I've got clients who I want to work with now. They need my help now. Doing the training.
And I get this question quite often. I'm going to get authorized, Pete, but I'm still studying. And hey, I know last year I'm currently doing a master's. I dropped the subject last semester because I just didn't have time to do it. So I understand what accountants go through. There's really only two answers to this question. Oh, sorry, there is three answers, I suppose. One is finish your training now. It's like asking the client, it's like when a client loses their trust deed, the first answer is find it. Mm-hmm. And they don't like that. But the other two, but when you give them the alternatives, they often do find it. But, yeah, find it. So the first one is finish your training. The second is you come to someone like me and say, Pete, can you do the advice for this client? I think they need an SOR, an SMSF. I can't give them the advice now. They want advice. Can you do it? Or you can refer to another financial planner in your local area. Can you do the advice? I'd do the advice. I'd hand the client back. I wouldn't even set up the SMSF. I'd hand the client back. You'd have a copy of an SOA that says they should establish the SMSF. And you then just continue with that client as normal. The other option is, I know my license does this. And certainly if you're looking at joining another licensee, because we give an exemption to the RG 146 to accountants with their practicing certificate, we'll actually authorise an accountant now and give them 12 months to complete their training. So you can actually come on board as an authorised rep tomorrow and you can write your SOA the next day effectively. So you could do it. So they're the three solutions to that problem.
Okay, so there is a couple of solutions, which is the good thing. And that third one sounds like it would suit a lot of people, especially in that transition period.
Yeah, if they're definitely wanting to be licensed, that's correct, yeah.
All right, the other question that keeps getting asked is, my clients are already in an SMSF, but want to keep asking me questions all the time around the SMSF and too scared to cross that line again. So where do they stand?
This year, a lot of your clients that have large balances will need an SOA because they're going to have to change their pensions.
Okay.
And you can give them factual information, but they're really going to need some advice. Now, a lot of the work involved in an SOA is around switching, because the statement of advice normally is, because I'm telling you, you should move from this product to that product. You're not really moving people from products here. They're already in an SMSF. And within our license, what we do is what's called a review SMSF. It's a really, really simple statement of advice. It's like 9 pages long, and a lot of that is form filling, where you just get the financial statements of the fund. So look at the assets of the fund, ask a few questions of the client so that it's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all.
Sure.
And those questions are, do you think an SMSF is still appropriate? What was the original reason you set it up? Does it still meet your needs from the original reason? Are you looking at retiring shortly? Do you have a pension? These sort of questions, which is 7 minutes really for an accountant to answer. You put those together, and that is the information needed to do an SOA. But what you need to do is you just do one SOA that says your SMSF's appropriate. You need to continue to make contributions, and we'll discuss that with you each year to what level. And if you're in a pension, it's time to discuss that with us to work out under next year's laws. And then going forward, and it discloses fees. It's important to put fees in. And your fees won't be that much because most of them will be accounting fees. And then going forward, you do a record of advice. So next year now, when it comes time to look at their level of contributions, you've done the SOA, they're in the SOA situation. A record of advice is fine next year. So, I mean, our fees to do an SOA is $330. You pay the $330. Come next year, it's an email to the client. We've reviewed your situation and recommend this year you put $30,000 into super, and that's as far as it goes. If you want a bill for that record of advice, you need to disclose the fee, but I doubt you would be billing for it.
Sure. So I've just got a question in relation to this this piece, which was asked before by Danielle, and it's I've got a number of clients who are SMSF clients and are in pension phase. I was told that I cannot send them a letter advising them of the minimum pension amount that need to be drawn. So what without an AFSL? So where do I stand here? Is that correct?
No, absolutely incorrect. It is a statement of fact that, well, they don't have to take the minimum pension, and we need to understand that. They don't have to. If they don't, they just revert back to accumulation phase. It's not a breach of the SIS Act. Someone might say, I don't want any money out of super. I want to leave it in super because it's a lower tax environment and I've got heaps of whatever. So there's certainly financial planning reasons for leaving it in super. However, the minimum pension, the maximum pension, if there is a maximum pension, is a statement of fact. So you can certainly write to the client stating that you have a pension, or you could write to the fund, you are paying a pension. The minimum pension amount this year is $42,750. Please note, I cannot advise you as to the amount of pension you should take. You need to seek that advice from an AFSL holder. But you can certainly tell them what the minimum is, what the maximum is. It's a statement of fact. That's fine. Okay.
Perfect. I hope that helps, Danielle. Thanks for that, Pete. All right, Pete, so we're wrapping up towards the end of the session, so I want to get to as many of these questions as possible, but before we do, I'd just love to hear a little bit more. I know you've got coming up in 2017 a conference in Bali, which is, I'm assuming, going to be a whole lot of what we've talked about and more, and I'm thinking a little bit of fun given it's in Bali, but would you mind giving us a bit of a snapshot as to what potential attendees are in for next year?
So this is a plug for myself, and really it's probably only aimed at the people here with their own license or people thinking of getting licensed and end up joining my license. But if you've got your own license, then you need to do ongoing CPD that complies with RG146. So going and doing 20 hours of SMSF advice will not cut it, because you're not only advising on SMSFs, you've got generic financial planning that you have authorized, you are authorized to give advice on, and you need to do generic financial planning advice, and RG146 covers those. So we have within our license a requirement for 10 hours of CPD for our authorized reps. You'll see there's 13 hours on the screen, but we only require our authorized reps to do 10.
Right.
And the entire 10 hours will be covered in this 2 days in Bali. Now, the reason we're doing 13 hours is some people here will have their own license and they may have chosen to have life insurance as one of their authorities. They may have chosen to have securities and they may have chosen to have managed investments. So we're actually doing an extra hour on each of those three as well, so that if someone's got their own license, they'll get 13 hours of CPD, all RG146 compliant. So they can be comfortable that they've got 13 hours of RG146 compliant CPD. If they're the responsible manager, they've got to make the decision how much they do as the RM, and most of the people here will be the only person in their license and will be the responsible manager. So as a responsible manager, my CPD requirement for my license is 20 hours, not 10. So if you're the responsible manager, you will need to do more training than that 13, but there are other areas where you can do that training. And some of them, one of them would be to do our induction day, which would give you from 13 up to 20, and will cover in detail all the stuff we've done today. So it's 8 hours of what we've done today.
Excellent. So I think
people have got questions in it. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's going to be quite attractive to a fair few people on the line, especially the ones with their AFSL or their license already. For people who are in those categories of still either in training or looking for that licensing piece, Peter, or the support around it, how can they talk with you more?
I guess the smsfexpert.com.au. If you Google Peter Johnson, I'm one of the first photos that comes up, and it's got my website and everything like that. But I was just going to add that the induction day is also very useful for people that either have their own license or don't want to do anything. If you don't want to do anything, the first half of the induction day is the first, well, the first question we did about crossing the line. We spend half a day on it. So there's a lot that you can do and that you can take away, because you want to know that you can keep advising clients on SMSFs, and you can. Most of the work you do is tax advice. So it's probably worthwhile looking at that. And we only charge self-licensed accountants $330 for the whole day, and those that are authorised reps, there's no fee to come along. So it's not massively expensive.
Okay, great. Well, let's get into the questions from the listeners, because I'd like to spend the rest of the time doing that if you're happy with that. And Peter, you might,
please,
when I call the questions out, you might have to just decide whether it needs to be taken offline or if it's too technically based. I'll see as well. The first question we've got actually gives you a bit of a plug. So it's from Mark, and he stated that he is licensed, but he doesn't want to have to do the SOAs and the paraplanning and the compliance work involved. What are his options?
Okay, there's two options. Well, lots of options you could, but our option, I'll just give what our option is, because you can go and find an external service provider anywhere, really. One option is that you just simply send all your SOAs to us. You would want to come to the induction day, so you learn how to fill out our client questionnaire. You fill out the client questionnaires, you tell us the advice you want, you send the SOA to us. It's $440 per SOA, and we'll send it back within a week for you to present it to your client. But then you keep doing all your own compliance work. The other one is that you just take up our compliance offer. It's $250 a month for the first authorised rep. It's $150 a month for the second one, and $50 a month for each one after that. Okay. Then you can come to all our training days for free, come to the conference for free, and we then only charge $330 per SOA. So they're the two options that we've got. I mean, there's other people out there that have compliance services. Holly Nethercote, the lawyers, have got one. There's, I think Kath Bowler's got one, licensing for accountants. She certainly does the compliance advice. There's plenty of SOA service providers that you could Google to compare if you wanted to, but that's our offer. And you know, you've got my details, give me a call, I'll call you and we'll run through it.
Okay, so I've got a statement from Bob. Surely accountants can identify the most tax efficient structure for investing, and SMSF is at the top of that list. Can't we go down that route for the discussion?
Absolutely. Client says to you, I want to borrow, and I'm sorry I didn't cover this one. Client says to you, I want to borrow to invest in a property. And you go, okay, these are your options, borrowing to invest in a property, and these are the tax consequences of that. However, I can't recommend that you set up an SMSF because I'm not licensed. You make your own decision, or you go and seek other advice and come back to me. Whilst it is the most tax effective, there are other considerations that the government seems to think you're not capable of answering. And I'm just the messenger here, please understand that. And so they would say that you still can't give the final piece of advice to invest in an SMSF. I mean, you're exempt from advising them to invest in a privately held unit trust. You're exempt from advising them to invest in a privately held company. But for some reason, they didn't decide to make a SMSF an exempt product. So that's just the, we don't have enough political influence as a profession compared to the institutions, unfortunately. So we lost that battle.
Right.
Does that answer, Bob could just say, does that answer his question? It's just right. about saying, warning the client that you're not allowed to give them the final advice to set it up and that they should seek advice.
Sure. Well, while Bob replies to that, he's actually posted another question, which I think puts your practitioner hat on to answer. And the question is, as accountants, how do we limit the personal fit dilemma when passing our prospective clients off to a financial advisor? Can we potentially ask to sit in that first meeting with the advisor? So from your experience, Pete, what's the best plan of attack there?
If I'm doing it, let's say they refer to me, I'm happy to do it in the accountant's office. And I, mate, you're actually an ex-financial planner, Brenton. You could comment on this, but I would imagine that a financial planner would fight tooth and nail to be able to interview the client in the accountant's office. They would do anything to be able to do
any day of the week. Yep.
Yeah. So yes, Bob, if the financial planner is not willing to sit in your office, then by all means, move on. Find another one. I don't know where you're located. I can't give any recommendations for your location, but yeah, they should be willing to sit in your office and do the, of course, that's an hour of your time as well, but if you're happy to give that up, may even be 2 hours, then no, by all means, they should sit in your office. Yeah.
And a line that comes to mind from our great coach and thought leader in this area too, Scott Charlton, is when you put an accountant and advisor in the room with a client, great things happen. So I'm sure only good outcomes can come from that scenario. All right, this one's from Margaret. Now, if the client makes their own decision and instructs us to set up, can we get the SMSF set up for them?
Yes.
Yeah. Short answer.
I mean, the answer is yes. What you can't do is advise them. You've got an exemption. Even though dealing in a financial product requires a license, there's an accountant's exemption for acting on instructions to deal in financial products, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do anything for clients. So you can establish an SMSF. Just as I said, the first thing is make sure that they haven't thought you advised them. That's the only thing to be careful of. Just make sure they haven't thought you have advised them. Just it's got to be clear that they've made their own decision, that's all.
Okay.
So no problem. Absolutely.
And a couple of similar questions here, Peter. The documents in which you referred to before from the CPA and the CA when passing on the information about SMSFs, in addition to that, creating the toolkit around some of the documents that accountants can use when talking about the topic of setting up the funds and giving advice, is there anywhere you can suggest going to get a hold of some of those templates that they can use?
Well, we sell those. We give them to our authorised reps. We give them to the accountants that have taken our compliance, to the self-licensed accountants that have taken to our compliance product. We've got two sets of documents we sell. One is the initial communications kit. So that is where you're actually writing to the clients, explaining to them your new license, and that's 660. The other one is all of the no advice stuff and the advice documents there. It's not sample SOAs because we can't really give that because that doesn't cover switching advice. But that all of the no advice stuff is also 660. Combined, it's 1,100. Also coming along to our induction day. If you've got your own license, it's $330 and we take you right through it. You will be a lot more comfortable about how to go and give the advice at the end of that day because it's a whole day on how to do it. You don't learn that when you do your diploma. In the diploma, you learn the technical side.
Sure.
It's like when you study accounting, you don't learn how to sit down in front of a client and give advice.
All right. Well, I think that answers that one nicely, and I think that puts us right on the dot of the hour, and there actually isn't too many other questions that have come through Mike, your question I'm going to take offline for Peter. It's just a little bit more technical. So I'm going to get that to Peter and he can get a response to you. So I'd just like to thank everyone for joining us today. And I'd love to pass on a great thanks to Peter for joining us and sharing with us all of the value you have today. I think just from the flow of the questions and to see everyone engaging today, Peter, it's definitely something that we need to be talking more about and getting clearer and clearer on as we get further into this journey. So your thoughts and your comments on this area are truly valuable.
Thanks, mate. And thanks to everybody for attending. My email's there. More than happy to receive 30 emails in the next 20 minutes and I'll respond to them all during the day.
Excellent. Very happy. I'm sure I'd keep that inbox open because I'm sure you're going to have a few more questions and queries come through. So everyone, again, thank you.